Factis Radio, FM 104.6, the heart of the island's community. Factis Radio, 104.6, the heart of the island's community.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to the Vectis Radio Movie Review Show. This evening on the Vectis Radio Movie Review Show, we have a pop culture collective nerdgasm made by the man who created some of the poppiest moments himself, Steven Spielberg. And we shall also look at the second in the Dwayne Johnson versus Giant Things series, which comes into cinema this week with Rampage. This is the one with a giant gorilla. I think as part of this show, we're going to actually have like a soft quiz, trying to figure out what the other Dwayne Johnson versus Giant Thing movies are that have come and are yet to come. And we also revisit two movies we've previously reviewed because we really, really like Sean. So, with me in the studio is Sharon. Hello.
Hello.
And Sean yet. No, we do not have a Sean yet. As I said, we really, really like Sean, and we're hoping that he's going to rush his way and bust through the doors any moment now and talk to us about these films, because he has some that I feel he's a little bit, shall we say, excited about.
Yes,
this week.
He wants to share.
Yeah, Sean really, really wants to share what he thinks about some of these films this week. But anyway, Sharon, you're here. How have you been doing today?
I feel a bit like Goldilocks as a gardener. You know, most of the year it's either too hot or too cold, and you get about 2 months of the year where it's just right.
Yep.
And the ground is either too hard or too soft, and then you get about a week where it's just right. This week it's gone from too cold to too hot, and the ground's gone from too wet to too hard. So I'm a bit like a grumpy Goldilocks gardener today.
Was there a sweet spot somewhere in the middle?
Probably my day off.
Your day off, you're like, oh, this should be fine tomorrow. Oh, it's too hard.
It's just too hard. I can't weed anything because it's not.
Well, this is because I love weather like this. I absolutely love weather like this. I mean, I've recently come back from Nigeria, and there's a time when there's a point of the day where it just comes round about right. And if you're somewhere near a body of water and there's a breeze coming
thinking,
yes, that's it. And today, I think there's been bits today where I think it's been getting close to that. And I've just been like, this is great. This is brilliant. You almost sort of want to sit down somewhere with a drink and be like, oh, this is what life is about.
Yes.
It's like, yeah, this is why I agreed to be born.
I think it's just because we haven't had that easing in period, have we, this year?
No, we haven't.
It's gone like endless winter, 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 winter. Then suddenly it's gone like, we're skip spring now, and we'll just go straight to have a week of summer.
Yeah.
And you think, where's my, I'm still going from wearing a jumper to wearing a t-shirt in a week. That's just not right.
Yeah, I'm confused because I'm wearing like, you know, a hoodie, I'm wearing a gilet on top of that, and I'm wearing shorts.
Yes.
So I'm like, because yesterday my wife and I went for a walk, and we're walking around at 9 p.m. at night, and you know when it is, where it's still sort of dusky and it's still kind of light, it isn't quite dark yet, and you're thinking, I'm pretty sure yesterday was pitch black by now.
Yeah, it just varies so much.
It just switches, and that's something that I find really hard because grew up in Nigeria, and there we have pretty much the same weather all year round.
Yeah, you know what you're going to get.
Yeah, 7 p.m., it shall be dark.
Yes.
You know that. But here, it's kind of like, I just don't get it. Seasons are just crazy over here. So,
No rhyme or reason to it.
No rhyme or reason to it.
Yeah, so if you think of us gardeners, just think of us as like Goldilocks. We're third of the time, we're just never happy.
All right, cool. Oh my word.
What's happening?
I think we've
Someone's
been blessed.
Walked in
I think
the
we've
door.
Been blessed. Oh my word.
He's arrived.
We have a Sean. We have a Sean. Look at that. Coming in just as we're about to start talking about it. Okay.
So we don't have to pinch any of your thunder from any of your films.
No. That's cool. No, that's good then.
Yeah. We've been explaining to all of the listeners how we're hoping you're going to get in here any moment now, because you have just been like, you know, dying. You seem to be bubbling. You're like a pot that's just frothing over. We wanted to talk about this, and you're like, oh, I want to talk about this one.
It's true.
Okay, cool. So let's start off with the film that we said we're going to start off with, and you begged us that please you wanted to talk about it. Let's talk about Rampage.
Rampage.
And as I said, this is, by my estimation, this is the second in the Dwayne Johnson versus Giant Things movies that is going to come out. Can anybody guess what the first one was? Dwayne Johnson versus Giant. No.
I'm just trying to think. I normally keep abreast of things.
No, he was a baddie, wasn't he?
We don't talk about
how far back are we going here?
We're going back about two years, maybe three.
Okay, The Rock versus...
You're the Rock fan, Sharon.
Thing. I say, normally I keep abreast of things, The Rock related.
It wasn't like a creature or anything.
No.
So, a big dude.
No, it wasn't a dude.
Transformers?
No. No.
An apocalypse of some kind.
It was kind of an apocalypse of some kind. It was a natural...
Oh, San Andreas.
The Rock versus a giant earthquake. Now we have Rock versus giant gorilla. And coming up, we have a film that's Rock versus a giant something else. But let's talk about this film first, and then we'll figure out. You see, you can figure out what the next giant thing the Rock is going to punch in the face is. So Rampage. So, okay, let's go through it. Sharon, you tell us a little bit about what Rampage is about. Sean, you tell us what you think.
Okay, Rampage you've got the good guys and bad guys. The bad guys are a genetic company who have been conducting experiments in a enclosed, sterile environment in space, where they are experimenting with the genomes from various different animals around the planet to see if they can isolate certain characteristics and either weaponize them or use them to advantage. So the ability to... I'm trying to think of some of the abilities they're trying to do. Heal very quickly.
Yep.
Like reptiles.
Yep.
Hyper-aggression. The ability to, I don't know, spit poison. But there's various other ones. But they're running these experiments in space. One of these experiments goes hideously wrong. And one of their little lab rats sort of multiplies inside to become the size of just like a hippopotamus. And it starts rampaging through their space station.
Ooh,
and one
the
of their astronauty type people... rescues three of these canisters of their samples because they say, you know, if you don't come back with these samples, don't come back at all.
Yeah.
This is on an exploding space station, a privately owned space station. So she manages to grab three of these canisters and secure them in her shuttle, but then a catastrophic event happens where the rat thing attacks her spacecraft, structurally weakens it, and on her re-entry it explodes, thereby sending these three capsules in three different locations. One goes into like this swamp area. One goes into the forested area where, I mean, the swampy one, a sort of like reptilian thing sniffs it and then is infected. In the treed area, a wolf sniffs it and things go wrong there.
Yep.
And then in the zoo, we have an enclosure with these gorillas, and there's a special albino gorilla called George who can sign language and has got a very personal relationship with the Rock, but not in an inappropriate one. A canister lands in his enclosure, and then he sniffs it.
Yes.
And then chaos ensues.
Okay, you know, I'm just realizing that I might have made a mistake asking for a plot, because I don't really think that the plot is... needed in this film.
That's the basis. You know, three infected beasties go for it, pal.
They go rampaging around the place, and Dwayne the Rock Johnson has got to stop them somehow.
Yes, well, the people who own this genetic corporation have implanted some sort of like a signature into these experiments, so they're identified as theirs in the genetic code. And all of these things, anyone infected or anything infected by these codes responds to a certain signal, and they have like this sort of broadcasty thingy on their building, and they transmit it saying, right, we want you to come here so we can get samples of our experimental DNA. And so they trigger this thing, and then all these three animals, these creatures, start converging upon this enormous skyscraper in Chicago.
And obviously knocking down everything in the way.
Everything in the way.
All right, cool. So, Sean, you have been to see this film twice this week.
Yes. Double the fun.
You're pretty keen on talking about it. So tell me, why? What are you so keen about with this?
Okay. You know, normally, like with some of these films, and I know really this is one of those crazy films that wouldn't happen.
Yeah.
But I really, really love the story with this. I love the way that you've got the Florida, Wyoming, and like you say,
where the three animals are.
Mm-hmm. So obviously, there's like a time difference. I really like the time. For me, the story was really, really good. I thought the one of the best films I've seen The Rock in, I think. I think he played a terrific part in this film. Really, really liked him in this film. But as I say, what it was the story. I couldn't really think of anything to pick holes in it. Maybe there was one, what I call a Fast and Furious moment, but which to do with an aircraft. But Someone said to me, how can you, you don't like the Fast and Furious ones and yet you've got this monster one. What is it with you? I said, well, at least the story, at least the premise, at least the narrative is... Yeah. Is just really, yeah, really good. Makes good sense. There's nothing really silly. It's a nice, fast-paced film. I absolutely adored this.
Yeah, because they've set the rules and then they all follow the rules.
Yeah.
They don't suddenly say, oh, hey, he can do this. But they all basically follow the rules. So it stays within its own universe, doesn't it?
It does, yeah.
But you get all these different characters coming in. You've got, obviously, the Dwayne Johnson, who's this, who now is like a...
I think he does really well in this.
He does really well.
Did you think this is...
Yes, I did. I thought he's very sort of, you know, appealing in it.
Totally.
There's the only...
yeah, you would.
As ever. But no, I thought his character was likeable and you root for him and you root for... the good guys.
Yeah.
And there's, is it Naomi Harris is the...
Yeah, Naomi Harris is, plays the...
Yeah, she's
I don't
a geneticist.
Okay, go.
Who has originally was working on these experiments and they realised how sinister they were and then now she's trying to stop them.
Yeah.
And then you've got Jeffrey Dean Morgan as a government agent from an agency that is not named.
It's just like a parody of Negan, I think.
And he's basically... he's Negan turned up to 11, yeah, basically. But without the baseball bat, without the baseball bat.
They were like, Jeffrey Dean Morgan, we need a Jeffrey Dean Morgan type character to play.
Yeah.
Who should we get? Jeffrey Dean Morgan!
Because he doesn't have a baseball bat, but he has like this pearl gripped pistol
like
that's in his pocket.
A cowboy.
And so he's like, all his cowboy characteristics.
No,
yeah.
Not to say that Jeffrey Dean Morgan has been typecast or anything. But
yeah, you could see he had that sort of twinkle that Negan has.
Yep.
So that's why I like this movie, because I couldn't really, you know, as I say, sometimes think, it was consistency, which was one thing I found when we spoke about Quiet Place was I didn't like the consistency in that, because you know sometimes things are like super fast and then there comes a time when they're not.
Hey, were you here when we spoke about Quiet Place?
No.
Thank you.
That's the first we've heard then.
We'll hear about that. We'll hear about that a bit later. So you'd say, because Rampage is based on a video game. It's based on a video game, and in this video game, you could play as either a giant gorilla, a giant crocodile. Or what was the third thing?
Giant wolf.
Giant wolf, yes. Yeah. Or a giant wolf. And you could play at either one of these. And all you had to do as these things was destroy all the buildings in the area. That's what Rampage was. It was like, it was destruction. It was, all right, cool, go do this.
Smash
And when stuff. they said they were going to make a film out of this, because they have tried to make, recently we had Tomb Raider, where they talk about like trying to make a film out of a video game, and sometimes they try and complicate it with story and everything like that. From the word go, when you say, okay, we're going to make a film about a video game that's a giant gorilla smashing buildings, that's, you don't need much on top of that. It's like, and it sounds like,
sells it, doesn't it?
It sounds like, Sean, what you say is like, it promises you, we will give you giant gorilla smashing buildings. And you will go watch the film and he says, giant gorilla smashing buildings.
And I mean, the action sequences are great, I think. Yeah. What did you think? I mean, the last like 20, 30 minutes, it's just like,
And where it is, obviously, a lot of CGI going on.
Yeah.
You don't see any blurry edges or suddenly it goes a bit wonky. Mm-hmm. It stays consistent throughout. The only thing I wasn't sure about, because I don't know the game, was I justified it in my head, but some of the animals start to develop physical characteristics like the DNA. So, like the wolf develops like bat wings,
like a flying squirrel.
And the sea creature-y one, amphibian one, alligator.
It's basically an alligator, which is in the Everglades.
But he's got these funny feet things.
And he comes in later, doesn't he? But he has to work his way all up the...
Up the wizard beetle.
So he has to work his way.
So that's what you're saying. You're saying, obviously, they've paid attention to the fact if they're all over America and there's a time difference.
Yeah, there's a time difference.
They wouldn't all just show up at the same time or something like that. Okay.
So you have the wolf
and
it
takes a while for them to convert. Yeah, but the gorilla, he doesn't change anything. He's still a gorilla at the end of it. He doesn't... He gets bigger and he gets more aggressive. But he doesn't start developing, you know, fangs or... Well, he has fangs. But he doesn't start developing, you know, stripes or camouflage
or
something.
He heals himself really quick, though. Did you notice that?
Oh, so maybe he had the Healy thing.
So he had, like...
But he didn't change sort of physically, did he? All the others, they changed physically as well.
Yeah, he just changed big in size, but his healing potential was...
But yeah, he didn't, like, his funny
feet. He did take a few nasty chomps and things, but you know what I mean. So that was
okay. So it sounds like we're okay, Sean. I don't think I've seen a film put this big a smile on your face.
Not for a while.
Yeah, no, for a while. Okay, now let's go into one of your pet hates: the ending of the film. The ending of the film. The last third act. You've already mentioned the last 20 minutes. You say that over the last couple of years, films keep letting you down with the last 20 minutes.
Yes.
But this sounds like you, this is the last 20 minutes that actually made you happy enough to go watch the film
it
again.
It did, yeah. It really, really did. I thoroughly enjoyed the film. But believe it or not, I saw the 2D version and then I went to see the 3D version on the same day.
Oh, my goodness.
I know. How about that then? And I should definitely be watching it again because I just really, really totally enjoyed this movie. Got totally immersed in it. I mean, I knew nothing about the video game. I didn't even know it was a video game.
Wasn't aware of it.
So, it sounds almost as if you're saying that this is the first successful video game adaptation to a movie.
Well, yeah, it's a great movie. So, yeah, I guess so. And as I say, I thought the acting was good. To me, this is Dwayne Johnson's The Rock's best role, I think.
I love Dwayne Johnson anyway. I think the guy is I think he's an underrated comic actor. He has charisma. Yeah. He's the kind of person who, the same way, and this will be a bit of a stretch for some people, but the same way, like, you know, Clint Eastwood showed up on screen and just had this charisma without having to do much. I feel like Dwayne Johnson is like that. He just shows up and he doesn't have to do much before you go, yeah, I'll watch this guy.
Yeah. I want him to win.
Yeah. All right.
Was it who was the sort of scientist that got sacked, the one that helped him?
Naomi Harris.
Was she in... She
28 Days Later, wasn't she?
Was she Moneypenny?
She is Moneypenny.
She's Moneypenny. I knew it.
She is Moneypenny.
I thought it was. Yeah, I just sort of checked that one. Sorry. Yeah,
she is a Moneypenny. She was in Moonlight, all that. All right, cool. How many stars would we give this?
It's obvious what I'm going to give it. This is going to be top draw.
I'd give it a 4 billing. For entertainment.
Yeah. I'm sure you're going to give this film 5.
I am going to give this film 5. Purely because I totally indulged myself and I thoroughly enjoyed it and I had a great time watching it.
Yeah.
This is like one of the funniest twists of fate ever. Sean gives the movie with a giant gorilla, with a giant rampaging albino gorilla. 5 stars.
Well, what can I say? The movie, it's one of the most enjoyable movies I've seen this year.
No. I need to go watch this film now. Yeah. I really need to.
I'm like a bit like Craig Revel Horwood with some films. He always starts with a perfect score.
Mm-hmm.
And then for every fault, he takes a point off.
Mm. Yep.
So he never starts thinking, they did something good, we'll add a point. He always starts perfect, and then if you do an identifiable fault, he takes it off. So I'm like with a film, if there's one thing I think, well, I'm not quite sure about that, that's when it loses the star for me.
Well, then
I thought it was a definite 4.
Well, for that little Fast and Furious moment, that's about giving 4.5.
Still pretty generous.
It's
all right,
still
cool.
A good film. It's entertaining.
We're going to have some ads now, and then when we come back, let's see whether you guys can guess what the third Dwayne Johnson versus a giant something movie is that's coming out very soon.
Olive White Studio Glass at Arrowton Barnes Craft Village is one of the leading British glassmaking studios and has a reputation worldwide. The studio is open 7 days a week and you can come and watch master glassmaker Timothy Harris create his amazing designs. A visit to Isle of Wight Studio Glass also offers an opportunity to purchase a piece of glass that you will treasure for always. You can also buy online at isleofwightstudioglass.co.uk or call us on 522-339.
A missing child, a murder. In a demanding, male-dominated world, WPC Villalli searches for clues, juggling career with her marriage and childcare. Policing's a tough job. Could you do it? Hold tight. I was hooked from page one, says Jill Kay in Genui magazine. Michelle McGorian, author of Goodnight, Mr. Tom, says Hold Tight is fantastic, unputdownable. Hold Tight by Felicity Fair Thompson. Available online or from your favourite bookshop.
For over 70 years, White Building Materials have been the leading supplier of construction and building materials on the Isle of Wight, offering ready-mix concrete, decorative aggregates, concrete blocks and so much more. They're right here on your doorstep, unless, of course, you haven't built it yet, in which case you need White Building Materials. For more information or if you have any questions regarding products and services, contact them on 01983 524 822 or check out the website whitebuildingmaterials.com. White Building Materials. Get your asphalt into gear and call them today.
Do you suspect there may be some bullying going on within your company? Have you wondered what, if anything, you can do to stop it? Break the Cycles one-day workshop, Thriving in the Workplace, is the solution to any bullying that may be impacting the smooth running of your organisation, leading to increased staff turnover. There may be negative PR for your company if it's associated with bullying and nothing is done. For more information about this one-day workshop on workplace bullying, click breakthecycle.org.uk or email hello@breakthecycle.org.uk. Or you can call us on 01983 754 666 for an informal chat.
We all know the problem. You want to listen to your favourite Vectis show, but your blimmin' life is getting in the way. What with work and the obligation of having to care for your kids. Well, don't worry, we've got a cunning plan. Quit work and have the kids adopted. Failing that, you can always catch up with your favourite shows through Vectis on Mixcloud, whether it's the Rock Monster show, the Retro show, or something entirely different. There's enough to satisfy all your listening needs, unless you like jazz or classical. Click on the link on the Vectis Radio homepage or go to mixcloud.com/Vectis Radio iPlayer.
Vectis Radio, FM 104.6, the island's local station.
Hello and welcome back to the Vectis Radio Movie Review Show on 104.6. With you until 7 o'clock until Brian Curtis comes in with the eclectic mix. Now, before the break, I asked, what is the third movie that is coming up soon with Dwayne Johnson? Where it's Dwayne Johnson versus Giant something. The first one was Dwayne Johnson versus Giant Earthquake. Second one was Dwayne Johnson versus Giant Creatures, principally a gorilla. And the third one is Dwayne Johnson versus Giant something. I said in the break, I told you guys that this film, when you watch the trailer, it looks almost like a remake of an 80s action classic.
I'm just thinking like Predator.
It's very often, this action classic is very often called the best action movie ever made.
Oh, ay caramba.
Ay caramba, yeah, that's the best action movie ever made.
Yeah.
No, that's thrown me even more, I think.
That he's...
It stars somebody who up until that point was not really seen as an action star.
Oh, Tumbleweed.
Yeah, same here. One more clue. Give us one more clue.
Okay, he was known more as a comedian, and he was known more as a TV star before he starred in this film.
The name's to be. I don't know why I thought that.
All right, cool. It was set in a building.
Die Hard.
Is it? Yeah, Bruce Willis.
Yep. And The Rock is in a movie coming up. That's The Rock versus Giant something. That looks, when you watch the trailer, it looks almost like a remake of Die Hard.
Oh, Yippee-ki-yay, wow. Whatever this says next, and I'm going to repeat
okay,
it.
Okay, so okay, it's a movie called Skyscraper.
Oh wow.
Skyscraper, and it's The Rock versus Giant Building. So they're saying like, this is the biggest skyscraper that's ever been made in China and all that kind of stuff. And he's the security expert and everything. Essentially, when you watch the trailer, you're like, yeah, and you talk about Fast and Furious moments, Sean. There's a bit where it looks as if they're recreating a Fast and Furious moment with a, you know, where cars are driving through buildings and everything, like,
yeah.
Only that they're doing this with the Rock as a human being jumping towards this. Watch the trailer. Where you get, Jazz? Watch the trailer for Skyscraper, where it's a third Dwayne Johnson versus giant.
Yeah.
Then hopefully he'll get it out of his system and just, like, you know, continue doing nice, lovable things.
Because speaking of trailers there, I saw a trailer for Meg.
Yeah, Meg.
Megalodon. Yeah. There must be a thing about giant beastie things this year.
Jason Statham versus Giant Shark. That film looks so silly. If it has a sense of humour, it could be one of the films of the year.
It's just, yeah. I looked at it. I was just, how you look at it, you're sort of going, what now?
did you ever see, I think it was called Deep Blue Sea.
Deep Blue Sea, yeah.
Deep Blue Sea, that was... That was a good movie. I enjoyed that.
Deep Blue Sea is a brilliant film.
Yeah.
It's a brilliant film. And if the Meg has an ounce of the humour...
You've just got to have humour as well as the sailor. We know it's ridiculous.
Yeah, we know this is stupid. But yeah. All right, cool. Let's carry on to a second film. Now, this is really the big movie of the week. And it's a film that we would have started with, but we wanted to give Sean a chance to actually get his teeth into this because you have been waiting for this film for a while. You saw this film originally on a preview screening.
That's
and we
right.
said, okay, cool, let's wait until it's on general release and everybody else actually has a chance to go watch this film before we review it properly. And that film is Ready Player One. This is Steven Spielberg working on, like, the... Okay, just to give a quick thing about what this film is about. So, it's in the future. It's set in 2045. And at this time, essentially, think all your social media thing has become crazy. There's this thing that's like a virtual reality, full immersion thing called the Oasis that most of the world is hooked up to. And most of the world spends all their time in there because, quite frankly, their lives outside of it are rubbish. They talk about things like the bandwidth wars. They talk about all these things that have happened that the world has fallen into disrepair. repair, and most people go into the Oasis to escape.
And yeah, this economic slump all over the world.
Economic slump all over the world, and this
it's an escape.
Yeah, and this Oasis was created by a guy called James Halliday, who is pretty much like Steve Jobs, Bill Gates, like Jeff Bezos, everybody rolled into
one. Yeah.
He rolled into one, who created this thing. So he's like obviously really rich, but he dies and he says in this game that he's built, he's hidden three keys, he's hidden like an Easter egg, and whoever finds this Easter egg in this game inherits his entire fortune and inherits control of the Oasis. And that's the idea behind it. So you have all these people who are trying to get this thing, they're trying to get this Easter egg, and that is the idea. But obviously, because this is What are the things about what they've done with the Oasis, which is really cool? It's like the same way you have Facebook, and Facebook becomes this sort of like hodgepodge, smorgasbord of throwing all these different things in, and you have like Batman gets repurposed as a meme and all that. And they've just taken this to another level in the Oasis, because anybody can do anything. You can make your avatar look like Batman. You can do it. And they talk about that in the film. So it's kind of like the Oasis is like social media. It's like the internet on crack, quite frankly. It's like internet on crack. And so in this film, you have a character called Wade Watts, who goes in and he is trying to get this egg because he loves the Oasis. That's where he runs to escape. James Halliday is like his idol that he just sort of like worships. And obviously, because James Halliday has put like $1.3 trillion up for grabs, everybody becomes like, you know, Halliday scholars, and everybody just gets obsessed about this man, trying to figure out what it is that this man has got. So with that being the premise of this film, Ready Player One, what did you guys think?
Go on then, Sharon. I know, because you've all seen it, so I'm dying your thoughts on this.
I thought, basically, when I saw the end, I thought, Steven Spielberg is back. Because I know he hasn't really been away,
yeah.
But to me, this was just like classic Steven Spielberg.
Yes.
It was, you know, family friendly, it was entertaining, it was immersive.
Yeah.
It just sort of draw you into that world.
Yeah.
I mean, it had a heart. And it was appropriate for all ages to watch it, because I thought some of these films where they're supposed to be really funny, you do get sort of some sort of crude humour in it sometimes, or you get some bad language, or the violence just goes that a bit too far.
Yep.
This knew its limits. And it was just, even though it was like this world where anything can happen, you've got this fantasy world, it didn't push those boundaries of good taste, if you were. And so I really enjoyed it. I thought it was, yeah, I know it's based on a book, so, you know, hey, I'm going to like it anyway. But I just thought, no, I really enjoyed it. I thought the characters were engaging. You got this sort of band of five, then the five main protagonists. I thought they just did their job really well.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't get, it was littered with popular references. I mean, I got things like when they talked about, you know, the Breakfast Club, I was like, oh, I've seen that one. and other films where, but some of them I was with a friend and I was saying, is that from this film? And she goes, I don't know. So there's quite a few references I completely missed. But they had like a Saturday Night Fever sort of reference. They had a sort of Say Anything sort of reference. But you know, you name, if you had a favourite film, you could probably have seen a nod towards it.
Yeah.
Especially if you're of a certain generation, you know, Generation X.
If it was 80s, if it's 80s, you would see a nod, because the whole idea is that James Halliday grew up in the 80s. He was obsessed with everything 80s. And so he's filled the Oasis with things that are 80s. And the whole run, he's filled it with things that are 80s. And the whole chase to find this Easter egg and to get his fortune, you need a knowledge of a lot of things 80s to actually get anywhere close to it.
I was going
to
say, and all those references as well, was the second time I went to see it, I actually looked.
He's not looking away from the main action, don't you?
I was looking at the posters.
Yeah.
At that, and they're all that you references, there's little Robbie Robot, there's all sorts of things all scattered about the film, which to do again with the references to movies.
Just the love of the 80s, pretty much. Yeah.
That's it. And you're saying about, you know, the geekdom. There's like a whole army, this that company, isn't there? There's like a whole army all dressed identically the same in like yellow pullovers that are like, oh, yeah, yeah.
Because the stakes are so much higher.
Indeed.
There's obviously the bad guys of this company who think if they can solve all the puzzles, they can then win this lion's share. So they become a good baddie, don't they? They're like, you want to hiss them on the screen because they are...
Yeah, I think Ben Mendelsohn, who plays the head of the bad guys, Nolan Sorrento, he's great, because they have a country. So there's Gregarious Games, who made the Oasis, and there's IOI, who's Innovation Online Industries or something like that. And they are essentially So, you know, it's a set. If you think about it as Facebook, you have people who say, oh no, Facebook must be free and everything like that. Someone's like, no, I want to take over Facebook and I want to make everything about adverts. Like, you have to pay a premium to actually get onto it. And they think if we can win and if we can get control of the Oasis, this is the biggest thing in the world.
Yeah, we can start dropping adverts
We can start dropping. And there's one particular, there's a hilarious scene where they show the vision of what they want to make the Oasis, which I just think it's almost like a throwaway scene. Like, a lot of the references in this film are always kind of like a throwaway thing, but you just think, but when they showed the vision of what the Oasis could be, is I just think it's hilarious. Yeah. It's hilarious, yeah. But you know that if the Oasis existed, there will be a company that wanted to do that.
So we'll see it, yeah.
Yeah, different cards, isn't there? We could have a gold membership, a silver membership, a bronze membership, and there's all this sort of stuff.
And we could add more.
Yeah, so it becomes almost sort of like very pertinent for the world we live in now, especially because now with things like the Oculus Rift and all that kind of stuff, people are trying. There's a lot of companies that are trying to make the Oasis a reality.
Yes.
So it's, so it's...
Because it's formed as like a meritocracy, you know. You can earn coins, you don't have to be wealthy before you start. You can earn, you know, these tools or whatever they call them. So your magic powers, so you could, it's a meritocracy, you don't have to, first of all you meet their avatars and then you slowly begin to meet the real world people.
Behind,
and then they're different ages, they're different genders, they're not who you think they're going to be. And so it just sort of turns the world on its head. So in this Oasis, you can be whatever you want, but there's no sort of hierarchy.
And that's the whole. And then it becomes a whole thing about how many people escape from their real lives and just spend most of the times in the Oasis and don't go into their real lives at all because they find their real lives too depressing. And so they don't want to go into the real lives. But did anybody, you know how they have, so when they go into the Oasis, you create an avatar, the same way you create a character in a play game. So nobody in the Oasis knows what you really look like. They might know what you sound like, but you might have changed your voice.
Yeah,
so,
you can use these
distortions. You might look like somebody from... Yeah.
it's like, what do you mean you love her? She could be like a 300-pound dude sitting in the basement called Chuck. So you have all this, but did anybody notice the fact that there was somebody who was in the Oasis and their avatar was actually a Na'vi from Avatar?
Yeah, I did notice that. Well, there's loads. There was
There were just so many, so many little things like that.
There were. There was the Ymir from 20 Million Miles to Earth, who was like one of my Harryhausen little creature.
Oh yeah.
You know when they're all marching towards the castle, all the different things. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Ymir, which is like. Yeah, that would have been one of the things.
I think everybody has something that you might have spotted that nobody else might have spotted.
Because you thing.
The thing I spotted that I was kind of like, oh, I can't believe that's in there, was Battletoads. There was a bit where I was like, oh my God, there's a Battletoads! So you're watching the film and you just keep geeking out over things that you're like, oh, I can't believe! And especially because Steven Spielberg, who's directed this film, and you know that a lot of the pop culture things that will make you geek out were created by Steven Spielberg. So he does, and he made because when you read the book, there's a lot more of references to Steven Spielberg's work, which he removed from the film. He was like, no, I can't be referencing it. But there is at least one bit that he has where he references one of his old films, which just made me go, that's just cool. it's like you think if the Oasis existed, that is exactly what would happen.
Yeah.
So with that, I mean, is there anything else you want to say about?
I was just going to say that you mentioned about like the avatars. You can collect coins and things, and like, but if you lose your life, you lose all your coins. So
you have to start all over.
You start again from level one.
There's one scene I like in it, which probably when like an arm gets chopped off, and all the coins start going out, and the guy's trying to hold it, and he goes, "No, it took me hours.
That's 10 years.
Yeah, it's 10 years, and he's holding the arm, and the coin's going. So the coins are almost like blood. I really like that bit. And that character's quite a cool character. I think
T.J. Miller, who plays a character called IROC, and he's quite funny. So we all go to a film quiz, and recently part of the quiz was for the prizes to win was a copy of Ready Player One.
Yes.
So I got a copy of Ready Player One.
Yeah. So did I. I haven't read mine yet, but you read yours.
Yeah, I finished reading it. And while I was reading it, I was reading it going, they're gonna have to change that. They're gonna have to change it, because I was reading it going, there's bits of it that just don't I'm like, that is not going to work in a film. It works brilliantly on a page, but no one is going to sit down and watch this happening. It's like, I was just like, it's so there were bits that I was already expecting to be changed, and most of the things I was expecting to be changed were changed, because I was like, that
you just can't do that.
It's like you could do it, but it would kill the momentum of the film. And already in the film, because it's a whole world that is just so different from anything else, they do quite a bit of heavy lifting at the beginning of the film, trying to explain the world and explain how it works and explain all this sort of stuff. And I'm going to be that guy. Whenever a film is made from a book, there's always some idiot that comes up and goes, oh, well, you know, well, it's not as good as the book, is it? Anything like that. And I'm not quite saying it's not as good. I think it's as good as you could have gotten in a film from the book. But there are some things that I feel like there's just so much more depth in the book, and there's so many other things. Like, there's one thing, there's a love story in it, and I watched the film with my wife, and my wife was like, whoop, where did that come from? It's like all of a sudden, because I feel like in a film you don't have time to develop that problem.
No, you just suddenly go, it's insta love, isn't it? You don't want insta love to be believable.
You're like, why would that happen?
You don't believe in love at first sight?
Not the way it's portrayed.
The way it's portrayed.
No, yeah, because it is a little bit like, oh, what the heck? Because I understand why, because they have to keep moving. And I feel like there's bits of the film where I feel like, ooh, that there's a cut scene there. They cut that scene out. Like, there's a bit where Wade, he has this full immersion suit that he wears, and he has the suit in one place, and all of a sudden the suit appears in another place. And I'm like, there's a scene there that explains how that other person got that suit on and not him.
I know exactly the bit you're talking about.
Yeah, and I'm thinking, because the film is, the book is so dense and it's so pop culture packed, that I feel like it's to really do the book justice, you would have needed a TV series and not like a 2-hour movie. So there's things that I love the book. I think the book is amazing. I think the book is great.
It's been a bestseller for a couple of years.
Yeah, yeah. I think Ernest Cline, who wrote the book, did brilliantly with it. And I feel like if you're going to adapt that into a 2-hour film, they probably did the best that they could. Because that's probably the best you could get with it. Because there are some bits in the film I feel like, I'm like, no, that didn't quite work. Oh, you didn't really explain that. Oh, no. Hang on. It's a bit convenient that they all live in the same city. And it's when it's supposed to be something that's supposed to be anybody
global,
in the world.
Yeah.
Anybody in the world can access it. And then they kind of do things. And they do some, they make some decisions in the film, which I can totally understand why they made them. Because it's a film, you're trying to get people into the story and everything like that. But there was a bit of me that's like, oh, it's a shame they didn't do it the way it was in the book.
Yeah, I haven't read the book, so I couldn't possibly comment on that. But I know the scene you were talking about. I can understand the scene. So that would have been interesting to know how.
How did that happen?
How did that happen?
How did that get from there to there? And it's like, oh, how did this go? And they switch some things and give them to other characters and all that. So I love the film. I think that there's a lot of stuff that they put in there, and I feel like there's a lot of commentary in it as well. Like, they have, IOI has this thing called loyalty centers.
Loyalty
centers, which is essentially sort of like enforced slavery, which is kind of like, oh, you can't pay your credit card debt, don't worry. And
here's a way of paying off your debt. You can work for us.
Exactly. And it's
like a mouse on a treadmill.
Even that, when you think about things like payday loans.
Yes.
Payday loans. Like, even that has like something to say about, it's almost sort of like, once the technology becomes available, this is how what we're doing now will just sort of like play out, and this is how things will go on. But I agree with you when you, I think it is the refund, it is the return of fun Spielberg. And yeah. I think sure you said that. It's the return of fun Spielberg. It's a return of almost of wide eyed Spielberg going, oh, look at this. Oh, wow. Yeah. The film, because a lot of the film obviously is in Oasis, so it's like motion captured and computer generated, and there is a danger that that can look rubbish, but this film does it so well.
I agree. I mean, you compare it to Valerian.
It is decades ahead of Valerian.
Yeah, decades.
Because Valerian I like, but you could still see the join.
Yeah.
And I think in this you couldn't. And the craziest thing is, like, there's scenes where they put the avatars in the same scene with like a human looking person, and you don't see the join. You don't see, it doesn't look bad, it doesn't look weird. And I was watching it. I realized, hang on a second, I'm not aware that this is like like a video game thing anymore. I'm just watching a story.
Yes.
And the fact that
you forget that you some of the characters you're looking at aren't real world characters, that they are these avatars.
Yeah, that isn't skin you're looking at. So, brilliant film. I would give it a 4 out of 5.
Yeah, I'd give it a 4.
Yeah, definitely, four.
I'll give it a 4, but there's bits of the film I really want to talk about, but we can't because there will be massive spoilers.
They would be, yeah. But there's loads.
They are brilliant. There's like, okay, the second challenge that they have to do, because they have like the three challenges. The second challenge that they have to do, I am still in awe of how they managed to put that on screen.
Yeah, I know exactly. See, that's the thing. I was thinking of that. I was thinking, I can't mention that. You can't mention it.
But I am in awe of how they put. I'm like,
definitely.
How did they do this? Because they explain that kind of stuff in the book, and in the book, obviously, you can do it. But when you actually see it put on the screen, you're like, how did they do?
They do that. That was so good. I wonder if a few perhaps younger viewers may not.
I think if you weren't sort of. I heard this on the radio, so that's why I'm saying it, about the Generation X. If you're born between, is it 1965 and 1980, you're called Generation X?
Something like that, yep.
So I'm past generation, I must be a baby boomer. Oh, I'm a baby boomer.
Then it's Generation X, and then it's millennials.
Yeah. Oh, right, okay.
Yeah, apparently everybody from 1980 is a millennial, which makes me a millennial, which I didn't realise.
I would have thought you were just on the cusp of Generation X. I'm sort of squarely Generation X. But my teens were in the 80s, so I got a lot of the references, but part of me was thinking, oh, I wish I could remember some of those things a bit better. Because there's one bit there of saying, they're talking about the Breakfast Club, and then you had this one guy who's obviously got this earpiece in his ear, and you got this room of geeks going, it's a trap! Yeah. They didn't go to that high school, they went to this high school. I was just thinking, I wish I could remember this sort of detail. I just can't remember it. We heard all these geeks going, that's not any. And then they knew the whole name of the school, the name of the teacher, the name of.
They all wore the same. That was everything.
I think at this film, like this film might lead to another sort of renaissance for the 80s.
Yes.
People going back and looking at things in the 80s again, because it's. I think the book is even worse for that. The book is worse for that. But I think for taking that book the way it was, I could see there were a lot of things that I missed from the book. But I watched the film and I thought, but I know why they did that.
Yeah, I know why that works.
All right, cool. We're getting close to the end of the show. We're going to have another ad break, and then we're going to come back with two quick fire reviews of films. Well, what Sean thinks of them, but films that we've already reviewed on the show.
Vectis Radio, FM 104.6. For the people, by the people.
Island Harbour presents The Breeze Restaurant and Bar. We offer a variety of delicious foods which can be enjoyed inside the recently refurbished restaurant or outside, overlooking the picturesque marina. Start your day well with something from our breakfast menu. Enjoy afternoon tea with a slice of freshly made cake, or drop by for an evening meal with the family. We offer a range of tasty British classics with a choice of daily specials. Our produce is locally sourced to ensure quality and taste. The Breeze Restaurant and Bar, one of the Solent's best kept secrets. Call us today on 533-388.
Livewire Electric Shop, for all your domestic appliance needs. Appliance sales, repairs, spare parts and TVs. There are 5 and 7 year warranties available on selected brands. Find us in Orchard Street, Newport, or call us on 01983 522 420. Livewire, your one-stop appliance shop.
This is Vectis Radio, the Isle of Wight's local community station. Vectis Radio was set up on the 23rd of January 2010 and has been running successfully ever since. We are a community radio station which promotes local businesses, events, charities and more, whilst also giving opportunities for people of all ages to broadcast live radio. For more information, call 01983 527 733.
It was a well-paying job, respectable, wearing a suit and tie every day. But I drank 24/7. Drank on the way to work, drank at work.
I never could come to terms with admitting that I had an alcohol problem or a pill problem.
I decided to get clean, and so I went to the Narconon program.
Not only did I handle my drug addiction, I completely knew how to live life.
Call Narconon today at 01435 512 460. 01435 512 460.
Vectis Radio, FM 104.6, broadcasting from the Riverside Centre in Newport, giving people the opportunity to broadcast no matter their age or ability. We make entertaining radio whilst offering affordable advertising for local businesses. Vectis Radio, vectisradio.com.
And now we are into the final 10 minutes of the show, the Vectis Radio Movie Review Show, the show that seems to zoom by before we've had a chance to say half of what we said, what we wanted to say, which might be a good thing, because especially with Ready Player One, it will just be spoilers.
Yeah, that's for sure.
It will just be spoilers. We'll just get into like, oh, remember that bit with the hat? Oh, no, shut up. We can't talk about that. Oh, remember that one?
Don't talk about that.
Yeah. We can't talk about that either. But no, really, really good. Now, we have this thing that we started doing at the show where somebody goes to see a film, thinks, oh, this is what I think about the film, and because there isn't enough time, not everybody can see a film at the same time, then someone else goes to see the film, and we come back and we go, ah, I wonder what you thought about this. So we have two films we spoke about last week, Witchworth Wish and A Quiet Place, which, Sharon, you gave...
I think 3 stars to both, for different reasons, but I gave them both a 3, I think. Quiet Place a strong 3.
You gave it Witch Wish a 2. No, Jimmy was a 3.
I think it was a passable 3.
Okay.
Because it was entertaining.
All right.
And
so
it did what you said on the tin.
Okay. Let's start. Now, these are two films that I think would relate to you in different ways. One, because Death Wish, Charles Bronson movie made in the 70s, all that kind of stuff. And I imagine that was like, that's your heyday. 70s is your thing.
It is, yes.
Yeah. And so someone has decided to remake it and put Bruce Willis in the title role. And from the trailer, it looks a lot shinier than anything that would have been made in the 70s with Charles Bronson in it.
Definitely shinier.
Okay. And then the second one, A Quiet Place, because it's kind of like a claustrophobic kind of atmospheric thriller, which feels like it should be made in the 70s. Oh, so sort of like claustrophobic paranoid thriller almost. But let's kick off with Death Wish. What did you think?
Okay, Death Wish. Yeah. I was hoping that it was going to be it was going to be up to the Charles Bronson film. And yeah, it was entertaining. Like Sharon says, it was an entertaining film. But I was really, here we go, I sound a bit repetitive, but I was really let down by the ending because it was too nicey-nicey. It would have been much, it should have been a bit darker, I think, and it was too light-hearted, so it let me down.
I think they tried to, we were talking last week, when you think of the Charles Bronson film, his character was just filled with rage and outrage, and he wanted to make people pay for what his wife and daughter had suffered. And when you compare that sort of outrage, what they suffered, to this, it was like a house burglary where they got shot, basically, but there was none of the extreme violence and brutality of the original.
Yep.
And so his desire for revenge doesn't really play out the same way that Charles Bronson's did, because, you know, he was burning with rage, mm-hmm. whereas this was like, you know, he just wasn't very happy.
And also this was straight into the guns, whereas the 1970 one, it starts off with a sock full of quarters, you know, a sock full of coins, and he's actually,
did he have
and
like
he's
a
actually
snooker ball or something, you know, cue ball in one
was,
of them.
Was like a roll of quarters.
Oh right, because so, I can remember what went in the sock.
And because he got some change and he put in loads in the sock, and so that was, and he was because he had this conflict, because I think he was a Quaker, or he was something like
something.
That, a Quaker, something who believed in the
pacifism,
but he was so outraged by this whole thing. So he started off with that, and then he just happens to find a gun. Whereas in this one, Bruce Willis immediately gets
tooled up.
Tooled up. Yeah, thank you. I'll have this. I'll have a Beretta.
Bruce Willis immediately becomes Batman.
He does indeed, and it's really daft. And there's even a bit when he's getting some of these guns, and you see there's this particular sort of concealed weapon, yeah. And what happens towards the end? Yeah, you think, oh right, okay, what's he going to do? It was just really, really predictable and quite lame, I thought, really. I'm sorry. I thought, yeah, this could go somewhere. This is pretty good. But on the whole, it lacked...
What did you think about, like, the social commentary throughout, you know, because you had, like, these DJs and different people commenting on it, you know, given that the debate between, is he right to turn vigilante or should he go by the law? You had that constant debate, didn't you?
You did, yeah.
Arming yourself.
But I think you had that in the original as well, to a certain extent. You know, is this guy a hero? Yeah. Was he a villain?
Yeah.
And then they were saying, I think there's a thing in that that says, well, you know, it depends how far it goes, because soon you might start doing people for spitting on the sidewalk or something like that. You know, so yeah, so the debate thing is really, really good. And it does make it interesting because there must be so many people. I mean, there was a case in the news recently, wasn't there, with that chap that stabbed the burglar.
Oh, yeah, the burglar who, yeah.
And
yeah,
it was like, that's right, let's arrest him and all that. And then there was an outcry. So what do you do? So there is this, if the police aren't going to do anything, do you take your own revenge? It's a dilemma, because you would. Because if it's family, you know, family's really, really important. So do you know what I mean? You don't know what sort of thought you had. So back to the film. A little bit let down, a little bit disappointed. A bit lame, really.
And
I don't think Bruce Willis wasn't convincing. Lately, Bruce Willis hasn't been particularly.
He can either be bothered and be good, or he can be bothered and you just go, what's the point of making this?
I think that's exactly right. It looked like he couldn't be bothered. Yeah. He was in it for the money.
I thought he was more convincing than some I've seen him in, but it's just that. Paying a pen against hype, isn't it? For he's like a school surgeon. So we're running out of time.
So I'll have to give that a two-star. Two-star
for Death Wish. Okay, yeah. So A Quiet Place.
A Quiet Place, okay. Started off absolutely brilliant, really lovely. Lacked consistency, I think. Different things at the start because speeds. Because for me, there are moments when creatures can do certain things and then they're in another situation very close by and they're a lot slower, they're less stronger. Mm-hmm. I don't want to really give any spoilers away, but I just thought, come on, let's have. This is really, really weak. You know, you've got a creature that can smash through sheet metal, and then has trouble. Has trouble getting into something that's. And I'm like, where's the consistency? And this thing's got super speed. Yeah. And all, you know, like woof, like the Flash, like Superman, and then they haven't.
Yeah.
You know. So it's like, what's going on?
So it's a bit like when you have the zombie film, where you have the fast zombies and they catch everybody, but then you have something where someone is like standing there looking at the zombies going, ah, run, run, and they haven't been caught, and then they start running.
just for me, I lack consistency. It was nicely shot, and it was quite a. Atmospheric.
I still think it's a brilliant premise.
And I agree with you. I'm not arguing with you on that point. But those were where it fell down for me, you know. And I know, I mean, we go back to Rampage, you know. I mean, that's the most stupidest film probably, that with giant monsters and stuff. But I really liked that. But then the story was good, and I thought consistent as well.
Yep.
I liked the consistency of that story.
So if they said, this is what this thing can do, then they find a way of using that in the story, as
exactly
opposed to just
right.
coming up with, it'll be really, really, it'll be really, really convenient if it wasn't that strong anymore, or anything like that.
I guess I must look for different things, and I pick things up, but that's basically what it was. Whereas Rampage was, that's okay, all right, I know it's a fantasy film, I know it's brilliant, but things were different at different times in the film. You know, things could do things some way, and then when it comes to another scene, they couldn't do them. You know, so did you saw?
I still haven't seen A Quiet Place. I still haven't seen A Quiet.
I would still say it's worth seeing.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it as a film. Sometimes when you have to think, well, hang on, then that takes a point away, doesn't it?
It does.
But it's still an entertaining film throughout that, and I think it maintained a level of tension throughout. Though you are distracted by, you're suddenly thinking about something, when you're thinking, okay, if I'm thinking about that aspect of the film, I've dropped out of the narrative a little bit. But I still found it maintained sort of tension, and the characters were good and strong throughout, and it was well directed and acted.
They're man and wife in real life.
Yes. They are. Yeah, John Krasinski and Emily Blunt. And he also wrote and directed it.
I thought that worked really well.
Yes, the relationship.
The relationship was really good. And who was the young girl, the deaf, was it deaf? Or mute?
Yeah, hearing impaired,
Yeah, hearing impaired. Yeah, that was.
I don't know the actress, but she was very good.
So, I'm not saying the film wasn't tense and didn't have moments, but it was the consistency there, and it would have been much better. Things that I was like, come on.
So for A Quiet Place, how many stars would you give that?
Probably, maybe, possibly. It'd be tough to give it three. I'll give it three. that's being generous.
I still want to see that film. I still want to see, because I think when you see a trailer, and I'm just like, and when you see a trailer, you wonder, okay, I wonder how that film's going to play out. A Quiet Place is probably the film that has made me think that the most this year. Right, that is our time up for this week. Just wanted to say thank you for joining us. Get to your cinema, watch something this weekend. Apparently, we can recommend Rampage and Ready Player One. So I'm going to say goodbye, and Sharon.
Goodbye.
Sean.
Goodbye now.
See you guys next week.
Cool.
Rampage.